The great subject of out of affliction, I like how Dillian puts that. If you are not familiar with the account of Joseph being sold as a slave, and you know he's the guy with the coat of many colors, you're going to become familiar with him today. The subject of out of affliction is a vast subject because if you're afflicted, you want to get out of it. If you're an afflictor, you need to stop. And if you're somewhere in the middle of all that, you need to know which way to go so that you can walk as a super Christian conqueror. There should be no affliction afflicting Christians from Christians. It's wrong. But nonetheless, it happens because people afflict people. Now, Satan goes in and he gets it all stirred up, but the bottom line is that people afflict people. And if you've never grown up, in other words, if you are a child, and I could be speaking to somebody 100 years old, then more than likely you afflict people. And it's my opinion, I'll preface it with that, that people who have not grown up, their children in understanding, their children in the way they manage other people, it's because they were afflicted or abused when they were children. And when I'm saying abused, don't go to the sexual thing, okay? Certainly that could be at play, but generally it would be emotional. And so when and where you have an adult-aged person afflicting others, they've never grown up. And they were abused predominantly emotionally when they were children. And if that's the case, and it most generally is from what I can tell, what I've seen, the victim, in other words, the adult-age person who never grew up because he or she was afflicted or abused just excessively and pretty much continuously as a child. When and where you have one of these people, the only thing that could save them is agape. It's the agape walk that binds and subdues affliction. And so it becomes each person's responsibility to recognize if they afflict others and to stop it. The only way that you can successfully do this is to learn to put your afflictor, in other words, the one that got you to this place where you have an afflictor lifestyle, where you're actually hurting other people. The only way you could really move ahead is by learning how to put your abuser in the grave. And that always gets people's attention. You've got to put your afflictor in the grave. And what that means, it doesn't mean homicide. Don't go down that road. It means that you have to recognize who your afflictor was, and you have to, every time that comes up, you just put your foot on his or her neck and bury him 6 feet. You bury the afflictor. You recognize it as being dead, not alive, as being useless, not something that comes into your life and stimulates more of you afflicting somebody else. Okay. Well, Joseph had to deal with this. Genesis 37, that's where we're going to be. The account of Joseph being sold into slavery provides us a fantastic account of God's hand of deliverance. Joseph was sold into slavery and raised by the hand of God into a mighty deliverance. None of God's people should remain in slavery. All of God's people should be delivered. And that includes every one of you. There's no excuse. You make your own choices. You chose to be here today. You could have all kinds of reasons, but you chose to be here. Now, if you weren't here, you chose that too. You could have had all kinds of reasons, but it doesn't matter. You chose. And you always have the right to choose. If you want deliverance, you must choose it, because no man has to stay in slavery. Verse 23, Genesis 37. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Well, his brothers didn't like all the attention Joseph received from their father, or from God, for that matter. And you should go back and read the entire account. It will fascinate you. They so hated this that they sold their brother Joseph into slavery. I don't know if you could even imagine that, but that's just terrible. There's some crazy movie that's been out for about 10 years. What is it? Not My Daughter or something? They sold the wife, or the wife became married to some one of these terrorists. Group type people, and she couldn't get out, and the whole movie was about getting out of that slavery. Not Without My Daughter, yeah. And, well, that's the closest I've ever seen to slavery, at least in modern times. Well, in order for them to sell him into slavery, they had to arrange the sale. So the first thing they did was they cast him into a hole in the ground, verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. Now, I'd say he didn't have much clothing on, because they took his coat. It's his robe. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. What amazes me is that men can do this sort of thing. You know, if you walk out of, away from the 20th Century Fox productions, you realize that people afflict people. And men could do this kind of stuff, and God has a permissiveness among humanity where this can happen. It's the nature of the spiritual battle. Well, we know that man can't live by water, or without water. And there was no water in the pit, and there's a figure in here. The spiritual man survives by the waters of life from God. No water, you're pretty dried up, okay? And that's just a fact. If you're not using your spirit, you're pretty withered up. You want to use that spirit. Symbolically, Joseph was at the end of his rope without a chance of survival or hope. These guys wanted him dead, most of them. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. The brothers, in the midst of carrying out their murder scheme, changed their plans when they saw these Ishmaelites going to Egypt. Verse 38. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. How come God's best gets sold for so few? Wasn't it just 30 pieces for Jesus? It's amazing. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and these people took Joseph into Egypt. Well, Joseph was in a pretty bad state. He had nothing, and at this time, he had no hope of getting anything. You can believe, though, that he never gave up believing in God. He never gave up his hope with God. When a person needs deliverance from affliction, the one thing the devil robs him of is hope. He just wants to get rid of your hope. You know what that, you know what living without hope is like? It's like being dead. Have you ever felt like you wanted to be dead? Well, your hope was robbed. And something came in and gave you a little bit, which kept you going. The one thing that the devil does when he brings in those lousy suicide spirits is he just blocks their hope, and then he can get in there and kill them. The one thing the person needs to do is hold on to all hope. Never allow your hope to wane. You make your choices. No matter the odds, God does and will deliver. In Egypt, Joseph was sold to someone else. Chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Well, I'd say that's turning lemons into lemonade. Any situation that you have in your life can be turned. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're locked into the world and you're afraid to look into God's life, then you won't see this. But any situation you have, I don't care if you're having trouble with your schoolmates, trouble with your workmates, trouble in your family life, trouble anywhere. It doesn't matter. Any given situation can be turned from lemons into lemonade. Deliverance can always be had. Always. And if the situation is so desperate that you have death knocking at your door, it's far better to die trusting in God than to live trusting in the world. And I hope that none of you ever have to die prematurely. But if you do, keep that in mind. Because this is a life that we live. There's rules and arrangements and things going on in the spiritual realm. Things just work certain ways. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Wow. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. You don't get that way by having attitude. You don't get that way by afflicting people. You don't get that way by being the devil's advocate. You get that way because you make godly choices in your life. Parents are always trying to get their kids to do what's right. That's where it starts. But you know, as soon as the kid learns to walk, what's the first thing he does? He walks away from mom and dad. You know, and the walk is like that forever on. So that's not necessarily bad unless there's attitudes and unless there's problems causing the child to not learn how to walk with God. But I'm telling you, if you ever want to get like Joseph got, and you can, you've got to have a good attitude. You've got to have a good willingness to seek God. There's just no way around it. There's no doing it half-heartedly either. That won't work. You know, this reminds me of the financial dilemmas that our young people find themselves in today. They're called YFBers, according to one lady. Young, fabulous, and broke. And they're young and fabulous, and they all think they're the greatest thing going, but they're all broke. And it's just because of our times and so forth. But the one way that they can fix that is by turning their own self into an asset. And the only way they can really turn themselves into an asset is when they get their job, instead of showing up at 8 like everybody else does, show up at 7. And instead of staying until 5 like everybody else does, stay till 6 or 7. And give and work more than anybody. And pretty soon you become visible. You can turn yourself into an asset. but you have to make a choice. Okay? And if you're going to survive and really come out on top, these are things that you've got to consider. With God, what's the difference? You got to make a choice, and you got to be willing to serve, and you're just always there. Okay? And that's the way Joseph was. And verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And this is a fact. Whenever you're in somebody's house and you're working according to the principles of godliness, guess what? That place is blessed. And if you ever wonder, well, what ought I to be doing? Should I do this? Should I do that? You can answer that question easily. If you'd ever pray to God for Him to help you with such and such, then it's probably okay. But if it's an action that you wouldn't go to God in prayer for, you probably ought not be doing it. But you can have that place blessed if you're doing what's right. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a man in charge, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He was a goodly person. Now, Joseph was in the hands of the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, Potiphar. That could be good, and that could be bad. As we know, it turned out to be good. Even in this situation, more evil befell Joseph. You know, you think, well, gosh, if God had blessed him so much, taken him up so high, how could more evil befall him? I don't get it. This is what people always say. Do you know that God never removed his hand from Joseph, even though evil befell him? Well, he'll never remove his hand from you, no matter what you go through. We see that Joseph was a goodly person, and that God's hand was upon him. So did his master. His master saw all this. If you are a goodly person, and sometimes that's questionable, depends on if you're an afflictor or not, because that's what it comes down to. Only people afflict people, and really what we're talking about is all of us getting along and moving ahead with the things of God. And the only thing that really stops that is because people afflict people, of course, via little satanic aggravation. But we see that Joseph was a goodly person, and God's hand was upon him, and the same can happen for you. If you are a goodly person, and if the hand of God is upon you, others will see it too. Trust me, it just works that way. But man can do this. Man can hurt people, but God's still there. And so is the battle. See, that doesn't go away. Well, how much are you worth to God? How much are you worth to the devil? And in all this battling, you can't forget these things. Joseph ended up in prison again, not because of his wrongdoing, but because of another's. And I skipped that section, but you can read that. And Joseph's master took him in verse 21 and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. That was verse 20, sorry. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Folks, only when you are not walking with God does your prison turn bad. Because you may be thrown in prison. And I'm not talking about one out there with bars. I'm talking about one in your head with bars. Because of your choices. But that prison will only turn bad if you're not walking with God. And God always shows mercy to His own. God still took care of Joseph. And God will always take care of you. But do you believe this? Or have you been so afflicted that you've lost all hope, where you won't even consider God's hand upon your life? Well, you must believe it if you ever want to see this kind of greatness come to pass. Far too many people throw God away. They are so, what I call, senses inundated that they can't see God anymore. They just can't. That's a sad state. Well, if you're going to throw anything away, folks, don't throw God away. Throw the five senses away. And cling to the Word of God, because the Word of God is everlasting. By this time, Joseph was probably getting pretty upset. He probably had his fill of prison. But he knew that God was with him, for he knew God's mercy and favor. And God will show you mercy and favor at all times if you are goodly and if you adhere to His word. See, these are your choices. You choose to be a goodly person. Joseph was a goodly person. The hand of God was upon him. Well, you have to choose to be a goodly person. You choose that, and you never let anything get in the way of it. Why should you? Just because so-and-so's coming again and you know you're going to get all blasted by him or whatever, you can just put some strategy into practice to knock that stuff down. You don't have to continually be afflicted by people. You can learn how to manage that and get away from it as best you can. Well, the bottom line is you must do your part. And so you have to ask yourself, what choices have I made? What choices have I made? I think about this all the time. Just all the time. Do you adhere to God's word? You know, those that think they do don't, and those that think they don't do. And that brings up this whole thing about second guessing. I've seen more people get into godly trouble because they second guess themselves far too much. They just second guess themselves. It's just unbelievable what they do. Why would you second guess yourself if you're doing everything you can that's right? You know, if you look at your life and you go, I can't live the word anymore. I can't be any gooder, okay? You know, you look at yourself, and if you can say that about yourself, why would you second guess yourself? Why? But where else do you have to go? What more actions can you take? Well, you can't. So sis calls up on the phone and starts beating you up. Well, what have you done that was wrong? Did you look at her cross-eyed? No, because she lives somewhere else. Did you say anything bad to her? No, because we don't talk. Okay, well then why is she beating me up? Well, it's not your problem. That's the point. You are doing the best you can do. And so the point then becomes, why second-guess yourself? Why? Where's the profit in second-guessing yourself? The more you second guess yourself, the more you delay your supernatural manifestation of Christ in you and the greatness of the more than abundant life. Why do it? Why second guess yourself? You got to get to the place where you realize, look, I made these decisions based on these choices, and that's the best I could do. I'm as right as I could become right now. And then you have to stop the second guessing. No. There might be follow-up after all that stuff, which you have to do. But don't second-guess yourself. Just stop it. There's no profit in it. Stop thinking you don't walk God's word when you know you're walking it. Just stop it. Stop the silliness. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's interesting. Right after that, it talks about the afflictor under the word tribulation. If you aren't walking God's word, stop pretending that you are. This is what gets the people that are walking God's word, because everybody's trying to get along and they keep trying to ignore the obvious. If you're not walking God's word, stop pretending it. Go get some help. But quit messing around, because this life is way too short. It just is too short, folks. And if you want to have some eternal reaping, which some of the kids in the fellowship over here spoke about, they said, listen, the reaping thing is something I was really interested in. Well, if you really want to reap eternally, you better be making the right choices now, because this life doesn't last that long. And you're not going to make it last much longer by your thoughts. You're going to be able to reap by your actions later. Everyone else around you can see you. They know you. You know, it talks also about being a castaway. If you're not walking the word, you're going to become a castaway, which means the people selectively or elect to reject you. They love you, but they know you're not walking the word. Stop pretending. Get involved. Or why else are you coming around, you know? I mean, that's an interesting point. Why would you come around and pretend? You know what I'm saying? When theoretically everybody ought to be coming around because they really want to walk. So it's all about choices. If you want to get out of affliction, you've got to stop second guessing yourself. You've got to realize that the greatness of what God has made available is for you. But you've got to make the choices. You've got to stop second guessing yourself and you stop pretending. There's no pretense in the walk. We're a family and we see each other through Christ's eyes. Now you see him through your eyes too, but you're also seeing him through Christ's eyes. That's how you know when something's kind of screwed up. Okay? And you need to learn to trust that. Well, Joseph interpreted several dreams while in prison, but the one he helped the butler forgot about him when the butler got released. So Joseph had to remain in prison yet another 2 years after the butler got released. Interestingly, though, he still had God's mercy and favor on his life, even through those 2 years of, I would call it dread. I hated it. Ugh. Don't focus on how long you have to remain in any given situation or place. Don't focus on that. Okay? God knows where you are, and he knows how to care for you. Trust in him. Well, in Genesis 41 and verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Well, finally things started to change. The butler remembered Joseph when Pharaoh had his dream. Joseph was called to interpret it, and can you imagine what a blessing it was to get out of that crazy prison? But not that, but especially what a blessing it was to be, part of God's plan. That's what's going to rock your socks, folks. You know, you might enjoy working the word, you might enjoy praying with people, you might enjoy certain aspects of the Christian walk, but I tell you one thing, when you realize you're part of the plan, that takes you to a new level. That takes you to a new level. When you see that sickness dissolve out of that person's body, that takes you to a new level. When you see that depression and the other stuff leave a person's life, that takes you to a new level. You patiently wait for this thing. That's what Joseph did. And just when you think things will never get better, then they change for the best forever. Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. That's what my kids say every morning when they wake up. And I go, forget it. Anyway, bow the knee. Just kidding. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Isn't this something? The work that Joseph did for Pharaoh was what he already had been doing for Potiphar. Nothing happened to his skill, ability, work set. And this is what's so dynamically important for you to understand. You might go through affliction, folks, but you're still you. Now, the devil's going to try to talk you out of everything you ever achieved and are to this day. But I'm going to tell you something. You still are you. And when Joseph came into Pharaoh's house, he was even better. I just thought that was remarkable. Through all of the battles, Joseph never lost his abilities, not only work-wise, but to stay in that race, to emerge as a victor in the spiritual battle. That's just really something. Really something. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 44, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. God delivered Joseph, and God will deliver you out of all your afflictions too. No matter what it is, you must do your part. You cannot sit and do nothing. How many of you just sit? How many of you just stew about your problems? It's time to stop. It's time to move. You cannot just sit. Be goodly, like Joseph was, no matter what opposition he faced. He remained a good person. Walk according to God's word, no matter what tempts you. I have often said, and I told you this before, if you can't pray to God asking him to help you do it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And then in 2 Kings chapter 7, you should read this account sometime too. It's pretty interesting. These guys were in quite a dilemma. They couldn't go one way or the other because of all the things happening about them, the battle going on. And they were sitting in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. They were facing death on all hands. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, can you imagine being in that state? If I go back to where I lived, I'm going to die there. And if I stay sitting here, I'm going to die. That's pretty heavy. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. These were their attackers. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. But folks, my question to you is, why sit we here till we die? Why not get up and out of affliction now?